I mean,
does Lennox have homework yet?
No, he just like they're doing ABC boot camp, so they're really getting after it, learning the alphabet right.
Who is this Gronk on Twitter that's not Gronk? Or Grok? Who's Grok?
Oh, that's that stupid AI
thing. What's Grok?
I don't know. It's Elon Musk's AI. It's stupid.
And what's it do?
I don't know, because I don't care.
Because Grok is saying that Shannon Sharpe was fired from ESPN. But no one else is saying that or reporting that. But Grok is. Would Grok know?
No.
Okay.
Grok?
Grok. G-R-O-K. Grok.
No, I know what it is.
Grok says Shannon Sharpe fired from ESPN.
I just Twitter searched Shannon Sharpe, and all I see is the first tweet. Pretty cool. My wife won a lunch with NFL legend Shannon Sharpe today. It's really long, too. I bet he's telling her about all those back-to-back Super Bowls.
I saw a guy.
That's a very funny
tweet. Wanted to take a picture with him. When I was leaving to come down here, there was a dude walking into our building who did not work at our radio station, who was in an authentic 84 Shannon Sharpe jersey. And I'm like, this is not a coincidence. I respect this man so much right now. Job well done, sir, to wear your Shannon Sharpe jersey today.
I thought you were
kudos
gonna say,
to this man.
I thought you were going to say somehow somebody rush ordered a custom NFL jersey that had Sharp as the name and it was 69 was the number.
Kudos to this large redheaded man who was walking into the building. If you work at Foster Plaza 5 in Greentree,
you wore your Shannon Sharpe.
Redheaded man with a Shannon Sharpe jersey. I salute you, sir. All right.
Doran Dickerson sowing discord on our show.
What do you mean?
He just saw your tweet about first in pod. Congratulations, Patrick Peterson, a future Hall of Famer, a man who will be wearing a gold jacket 5 years after he's done.
Okay.
He just saw your very generous tweet about Patrick Peterson, your excitement and everything else.
Okay.
Doran quote tweeted, why don't he ever promote Chris Muller PGH like this?
I promote our show every day.
I think he specifically said you need to put me on a pedestal, is what Doran's implying, that I am not put on a pedestal.
This show is just starting up with Patrick Peterson. We've been working together since 2018.
Doran also put out the crying, laughing, and the all serious thinking man emoji. That thinking man is a...
Yes, because he's really putting Crowley on a pedestal. What was his last tweet? A picture of fat Crowley that had the graphic Penn State fan?
I do love that
so
one.
So do I.
I think that one's great.
That was great, but that wasn't exactly putting Crowley on a pedestal.
I'll tell you what, Doran's just probably feeling frisky because this is about the start of his favorite time of year. We're getting close to Halloween season.
He was also sick today and under the weather, so we're having a miraculous recovery where he's now chiming
Wait
in.
Wait a minute.
Like your...
What do you is he going to be sick tomorrow, too? It's Friday the 13th. If there's anyone I've ever met or know who would just play hooky from work tomorrow and I'm really sick, boss, and just sitting there and watch every Friday the 13th movie, this is our guy.
But he also, I think, is the type of person that would show up to work and scare Crowley, like ambush him in some
like with a Jason mask, yeah, and a fake knife.
Jump out of nowhere. Here is Justin Fields. Let's see if he sounds like a guy from a little while ago. This just came in. Does Fields sound like someone who is ready to start against Denver on Sunday?
Justin, how much does it help you this week, maybe having a little more clarity going into Sunday? Last week, Russ activates his cap on Thursday. It's a little bit of a quick turnaround.
I mean, I guess it helps me a little bit, but like I said last week, come into every week the same with the same approach that I'm going to play because, again, I'd rather be ready and just have that mindset. So, I guess it helps a little bit, but it's really the same process for me.
Now that you had a chance to kind of comb through the film, how do you feel like you performed? Some things that you did well and some things you want to improve on?
I mean, I think there's a lot of stuff. I think, us as an offense, I think there's a bunch of stuff to clean up. Me just being more accurate on my checkdowns. So guys like Najee, and Jalen can, catch the ball and get busy downfield and do what they do best. But I think there's just a bunch of stuff we can clean up, just minor things. And, of course, the biggest thing is scoring touchdowns in that four-point swing rather than settling for field goals. So,
Justin, when we talked to Arthur Smith, he pinpointed the counter, quarterback counter play that you had late in the game. Just what did you think about some of the unique ways that you used your mobility and kind of tried to highlight that?
I mean, just making the defense play defense on all 11 guys, just with the ability that I have to utilize my legs and run the football. I think that just, stretches him out more. So I think he did a good job of, making him guard that and making him think about me while also, just executing the passing game. So it's always good. We can mix it up a little bit and Just have the defense, you know, thinking about, you know, whatever play that we can run.
All right, you can stop it there, Nelly. I don't think we're going to get an answer from Fields in terms of how he sounds, if he's going to be the starter or not. He doesn't really give away much in his tone. I do think that this is a good marriage of coordinator and quarterback between these two guys. I think when I think of coordinator for running quarterback, first name that pops into my head is Greg Roman, because he got Kaepernick to a Super Bowl, and then he got Lamar Jackson to his first MVP in Baltimore. But then I think of Arthur Smith as far as the bootlegging of the quarterback, the designed quarterback on the move plays. He did a good job of that in Tennessee. Now, he did have Derrick Henry there, which obviously you have to say that in any positive.
You have to honor a Hall of Fame running back,
right,
when he's on the roster, but he still had a very good feel for getting on the move but designed passing plays.
So in that respect, I think it's even though the wide receivers aren't there, I do tend to side with the idea that he is put in a position to succeed with the Steelers, whereas in Chicago, he really never was, Chris. And the offensive line was better there as his career winded down with the Bears. But they did just have DJ Moore, and it seemed like Luke Getsy did not want to fully commit to this
There were stories about the Steelers messing with the way he dropped back and his mechanics. I thought there was something notable at the very beginning of that when he was asked about just like working on things. We've always heard that he is a really well-regarded teammate. Like, guys in Chicago, DJ Moore, among others, loved him. He also strikes me as somebody acutely aware of when players he needs to make sure are on his side are ticked at him. Najee very visibly had the stink face when he missed him in the flat for probably what would have been an 8 to 10-yard gain at least. Harris had room there. He also missed Van Jefferson on a pretty easy one, pitch and catch. First, one of the first things you hear out of his mouth is, I've got to be better and more accurate on checkdowns. I feel like if you're a teammate...
That's always been an issue for him, though.
I know, but I feel like if you're a teammate and if you're Harris and you're ticked off because he cost you a decent gainer, probably better to say that and put the blame on yourself than not.
That's Chris Hoke's biggest critique of Fields, that he thinks he misses too many layups.
I think he throws too hard on short throws. The ball to Jefferson was whistled at him. Like when it did.
It's
not
like
really
when O'Neal Cruz would like whip it in from shortstop to Tellez when there was a catcher running, and Tellez would like stare him down afterwards. Remember the times he did that? Like, what are you doing here,
correct,
buddy? You didn't need to throw it 115 miles per hour there.
I do think the one to Harris is a little bit of that, because again, it was thrown pretty hard. But that's one to me where it's like, get your feet and just make a basic throw.
We have breaking news on the Steelers injury report, but I did say before we went to break that there was an offensive line revelation. So. Sounds from what Fautanu told reporters after practice, and we will follow up with Ray about this at 5:15. It sounds like Dan Moore was back in full. He played left tackle. Fautanu back in full, right tackle. And we'll ask Ray, but does that mean that Jones would be the odd man out against the Broncos on Sunday? Does that mean Jones is the guy who might be headed to the bench for this game? We'll get a full breakdown from Ray next. Text us on the Edgar Steiner and Associates Fan Text Line. We are live at Studio B. Let's get to an LA headline, and we'll write back on the fan. So we just said before we went to break, and much to the chagrin of Malzi, his head was in his hands.
Actually was.
That... there was a revelation on the offensive line today at Steelers practice. Dan Moore was back. And yesterday, everybody was rejoicing that we would finally see the offensive line we dreamt about after the draft. Jones at left tackle, Fautanu at right tackle, Zach Frazier at center. Mm-hmm. Those three young guns.
Mm-hmm.
Moore comes back at practice. And then he's at left tackle. Broderick Jones practicing back at right tackle. But it sounded like after practice, Fautanu confirmed that he was the first team right tackle, which would make Broderick Jones more the backup tackle. So David Todd, who has worked in Steelers media for a long time and used to weekly spar with Mike Tomlin over game management and clock management issues, which I got a kick out of, sent out a tweet saying, Great, you know, Steelers injury news. Dan Moore at left tackle means we'll have the same offensive line. Dan at left tackle. PennLive.com.
That's who Nick is covering them.
PennLive.com, I think. Said, I would not be so sure about that first point, meaning Dan at left, Broderick Jones at right. Now, when he's not so sure, does he mean Jones will go back to left tackle and Fautanu at right, or is he saying Broderick Jones will go to the bench, which is why I'm happy to have our next guest on the air to clarify all this for us. Raymond Apaldo from the Post-Gazette, brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers, 7 locations in the Pittsburgh region. They'll take your personal injury case personally, lgkg.com. So what did Fautanu confirm today, Ray, that he was the number one right tackle in practice?
Well, I don't know about that because I was talking to Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. I do know from talking to Troy yesterday that he confirmed he was taking first team reps. Guys, if I had to take my best guess right now, not based on any practice observations, but more based off of what Mike Tomlin said Tuesday.
Yep.
You guys remember he said, we have a commitment to, to playing Troy because, during the training camp period where he earned the starting job, they felt like he was one of their best offensive linemen. And I'm paraphrasing what he said a couple of days ago. But so if I had to guess the way it's going to transpire on Sunday, and I think we'll have more clarity tomorrow, I would say Dan Moore at left, Troy Fautanu at right.
Wow.
Is Broderick Jones in the doghouse with one or multiple people over there, Ray?
I don't think so.
Justification? Do they think Dan Moore played? I know Dan Moore had a solid game, don't get me wrong, but do they think Dan Moore really is their better option right now, that their 5 best offensive linemen does not include the first round from last year?
I think it would be tough to bench Dan Moore after the game he had against the Falcons. And that's not to say that Broderick Jones had a terrible game, but I think if you objectively look at that game and you graded it, I think you would come away saying that Dan Moore had a better game. Now, Chris, I know what you're going to say, Broderick Jones is the future, and he is. I just think people might have to wait a couple of weeks for that to happen. And I will say this again. Over the past 3 seasons, eventually Dan Moore regresses to the mean. So it's good news either way for Steelers fans. Either he's going to regress to his previous mean and Broderick Jones is going to be in there, or Dan Moore is going to have one heck of a season and he's going to stay in the starting lineup. So I just think my own personal opinion is they're going to wait for Dan Moore to start playing poorly before they make that move.
That might explain the Moore part. So you're saying Dan Moore has a great, and I conceded this. I said, I think the guy's a human turnstile, but he played well against Matthew Judon. I thought he played a pretty good game, maybe one of his best games ever, as a matter of fact, with his back against the wall. But why do the inverse of what they did last year, insert the rookie right in? If Fautanu sat this week, Ray, no eyebrows would get raised if Tomlin said, right, we're going to make the rookie wait. So why bench Jones for Fautanu?
They feel like they can be better with Troy.
Do you agree with that? You're watching these guys. You watched them all training camp. Is that right?
Well, I mean, I would say pre-injury, before Troy was injured. Yeah, I mean, he was out playing Broderick Jones, but they were actually, at that point, yeah, they were actually competing, and Broderick was kind of going from left to right. He was bouncing back and forth. So that's why they put him in there, Pony. He was the better guy, in the last week of August and the first week, the last week of July and the first week of August. That's why they made that move that they made before the Texans game. So
then you can understand then why fans and Chris and I get agitated when the guy you traded up for in the draft in practice does not appear to be better than the guy you've drafted over the last 2 years and the guy who's been on your team for 15 minutes.
Maybe not on September 12th, but maybe that'll be the case on September 19th or September 26th. I don't think I'm going to be able to tell you anything that you want to hear today, Pony. Listen, maybe tomorrow I'll be wrong. Maybe on Sunday I'll be wrong, And Troy won't be in there with the starters, but that's just what my gut is telling me.
No, right. I want Fautanu in there, Ray, for the record. I also want Jones in there. No offense to Dan Moore. I just am tired of seeing Dan Moore, but I'm not going to belabor the point. There's other stuff to get to. I'm going to ask you about the quarterbacks on this team in maybe a slightly different way. How active was Kyle Allen at practice today? How much of a participant was he as far as the work he was getting?
I mean, Kyle took guys in his position would take.
I guess I'm trying to get a sense, Ray, of I'm trying to get this sense here. I don't think Russell Wilson's close to being healthy enough to play, and I thought that was underscored, despite what was getting reported on Saturday, that he felt he was good enough to go against the Falcons, the fact that he was the third-string quarterback. And I'm just sensing we're going to get a repeat of that on this Sunday's game.
Yeah, here's the way I'll answer it this way, because we talked to Russ, okay? I think Russ is going to be the emergency quarterback on Sunday in Denver. And, you know, today, I know you guys played back the interview. It seemed like today Russ was resigned to the fact that he was finally going to miss a game. Like, he kind of knows already the way it's going to go. And today, for the first time, at least with my ears, I heard him say it was a significant injury. And if you guys go back...
Man, he really... And they downplayed it in training camp, but he made it sound like what happened in training camp was worse than they said initially, Ray. I agree with that.
Yeah, he called it a pretty good injury, okay? And if you go back and look at Mike Tomlin's transcript on July 25th, the day after this happened, he said Russell reported some calf tightness, okay? Those are his words. Quote-unquote tightness. We don't want a small problem to become a big problem. Yep. Well, here we are 6 or 7 weeks later, right? I mean, a small problem to me is like a week or two. When you get into six or seven weeks, we're talking like it's a big problem. And I think, I don't know what Russell's short-term future even looks like. I get the feeling that this could even extend beyond this week, just based off the way he was talking today. So, for now, it's going to be the Justin Fields.
So, Ray, does that, like, that you see, so I sensed some of that, but then he said the comment about, you know, sometimes guys need to play dinged up, which made me think that was his way of saying, I'm not 100%, but I should be playing anyways. Do you get the impression that, like, the Russell Wilson Bowl, the game, the revenge game, that he knows that he's not healthy, and therefore any kind of embarrassment that he might feel from not starting this game has gone by the wayside, and that that's not an issue for a coach to navigate right now, Ray?
Well, I mean, I heard what he said about being dinged up, and sometimes you have to play dinged up, but he also said we have to be smart and we have to listen to the doctors. And you know, he probably feels like on some level he can play, but just looking at his body language today and then taking him at his word for what other things he said today, I don't think he even believes that he could play on Sunday. So, like I said before, like just the look in his face kind of just looked like, yeah, this is what it is, and I'm going to be out this week. I mean, he didn't say that, but he said it in so many words. And, you know, it just seems like, you know, Justin's going to be the guy on Sunday. And it's going to get really interesting if he has a good game. I mean, Arthur Smith just said today he played very efficiently. He loved the way Justin executed situational football end of half situations. You know, if he plays like that again, then, you know, we're going to start having to have a conversation because he keeps winning games.
Ray, Patrick Queen, a groin injury, he shows up in the injury report. How concerned should fans be about him?
Yeah, I was asked in my chat about that, and Mike did not mention him after the game, and he did not mention him on Tuesday. But somebody asked me early in the week, are you concerned about Patrick Queen? And, you know, I kind of thought back to the game. I really didn't notice him all that much, and then I looked at the stat line. He only had two tackles, so maybe that explains a little bit of what went on in that game. You know, Peyton Wilson actually had more tackles. He played fewer snaps, but, you know, listen, Patrick didn't come out of the game, so maybe he tweaked something there. Maybe today was just a rest day. Obviously, tomorrow's the most important day of the week. If he's out there, even in a limited fashion, I think he'll play on Sunday. But if he's DNP again, you know, I think Peyton Wilson likely will get his first NFL start.
Ray, how close do you think we are to seeing Roman Wilson get in there after watching the wide receivers behind George Pickens do practically nothing against Atlanta?
I don't think we're close. I don't think this week.
How about next week?
Listen, they need somebody like Roman Wilson to step up because, you know, Van Jefferson played like 50 snaps and had just the one catch, so they obviously need more production there. But it's kind of like the Faletana situation. You know, he missed, you know, Troy missed about 3 weeks. I think Roman missed about 4.5 weeks. And it's just it's tough to come in and crack the rotation when you're not out there and you're not practicing. So we're basically guys, we're talking about him being back to practice for a little more than a week. I don't think he'll be active on Sunday. We'll see what next week brings. But, you know, I don't get the sense that he's close at all.
Are we going to see more throws? And it's impossible to not see less, but are we going to see throws to the middle of the field on Sunday? Did you buy what Arthur Smith was selling, that it was Troy Polamalu 2.0, Jesse Bates, that kept Justin Fields from going there with the football last week?
Yeah, I mean, Bates is a good player, and Arthur Smith certainly knows him. So, and Mike Tomlin doesn't like to go to the high traffic areas either. So that made total sense that he would stay away from, you know, from the middle of the field in that game. I mean, this game, listen, Denver has a good defense. I know Justin Simmons isn't there anymore. He's in Atlanta, but, you know, they obviously did a pretty good job against Seattle for about three quarters of that game. So you're right. It's probably going to be impossible to do what they did against the Falcons. You have to take a few more chances. And I think that's where Pat Freiermuth comes into play a little bit more. I think, you know, talking about the number two receiver, you know, get Freiermuth involved a little bit more play action. Maybe he has 6 for 60 instead of, you know, 4 for 27, and maybe some of that sting goes away from, you know, what the passing game looked like last week.
Ray, anything we're missing that we haven't asked that you think is something worth watching, monitoring, thinking about going into this game on Sunday?
You know, I think Jaylen Warren is going to get more playing time. He looks better than he did last week, but Najee did so well that, you know, if they feel like they can, you know, like Arthur Smith said today, if they feel like they could do the blunt force trauma thing again, they just might stick with Najee. But it's good to see Jaylen Warren back closer to full health. It looks like Jaylen Warren looks like Jaylen Warren from last year, and that's a good thing.
Should we be expecting any tackle-eligible pass plays for Dan Moore Jr.? Are they going to get him out there and try to make him a part of the receiving game?
Yeah, I was going to say they
maybe let him run the ball, let him play quarterback if Fields falters. How about more Dan Moore? That's just what I want to see, Ray.
Well, wasn't it Al Villanueva in Denver? Didn't he catch a – is that an extra point or a touchdown pass he caught? Yeah. So
I believe it was an extra point. You're right.
Yeah. I know they lost that game, but maybe they'll bring that out of the cobwebs for this game.
Ray Fittipaldo, Post-Gazette. He doesn't always say the things you want him to say, but he says the things you need to hear him say. Thank you, Ray.
All right. See you guys.
There you go.
Was he Batman?
Is that a Batman expression?
I feel like it kind of is.
He's not the hero you want. He's the hero you need.
I like that I tried to get like cute and try to figure out a way to ask about Kyle Allen, and I should have just said, Ray, do you think Russell Wilson's going to be the third quarterback? Because we got there soon enough anyway.
Total Request Thursday is next. The topic you picked for 5:30. First, an LA headline. It is 5:30. Your heart care matters. Get your heart checked at UPMC, Heart and Vascular Institute. Make clogged gutters a thing of the past. Gutter helmet, call 888-5-HELMET. It is time for Total Request Thursday. We gave you four choices to choose from today. You pick the 5:30 topic. That way you can't complain about what we were talking about because we put the onus on you. We could talk Fields or Wilson. Ray Fittipaldo just gave us a lot to chew on. The Backyard Brawl, which is Saturday, the 107th installment of the Backyard Brawl. Sid in discussions about his contract. He was talking about that in Los Angeles this week. And Shannon Sharp, who made news for having sex on Instagram Live last night.
But neither of us, especially you, believes he was actually having sex.
Correct.
And you think it was a work,
yes.
Wrestling terms.
And he is making millions off of it.
Definitely not a shoot.
11% for Sid, 24% for Shannon, 32% for Fields or Wilson, and a narrow victory, a come-from-behind win, much like Pitt versus Cincinnati last week for the Backyard Brawl.
I think you have to blame or credit, if you like this topic, the Malzi retweet. I retweeted this within the last 15 minutes, and Backyard Brawl was a close second, and then it surged ahead. A lot of college football lovers there.
We have breaking news on the Backyard Brawl because Pitt, a school right now without an athletic director, has now a team of people who are searching high and low for the athletic director. There is a committee.
You're making it seem like they're trying to find the athletic director because it's hide and seek there. They're searching high and low. They've got their flashlights out.
There is a committee of seven people who will look for the next AD at Pitt. And three of them are household names. One is Jeff Capel. The other, currently working for Pitt Athletics, is Pat Bostic.
The Pitt boss.
In addition to co-hosting once a week with Doran and Crowley and calling games on Saturday. He will now be looking for the next athletic director. What if Crowley starts giving him bad advice, like a Trojan horse move? Interview this guy, hoping that he would not listen.
Dana Holgerson.
So that would not even work. And then Aaron Donald is also on this committee, which...
AD have any college eligibility left for this game? Get him to suit up real quick. If you dropped Aaron Donald into this game, would he destroy everyone?
Pitt would win. I think it's a close enough game where his presence in a game like this would cause Pitt to win.
Assuming he's probably still kept himself in basically in football
he's
shape.
He's a human muscle.
I think would Pitt win if he was airdropped into this game. I think he might have like 8 sacks.
Here's a question. Who do you think has a lower body fat percentage? James Harrison or Aaron Donald?
Donald.
Aaron Donald has muscles in places that I never even thought existed. Like his abs somehow like...
It's like a 12
They like
pack.
Protrude. They're like muscular boobs on his like stomach.
Muscular stomach boobs. When he does like one of those flexing pictures, it's like if you and I tried to flex, somebody would be like, well, there's skin there, so what?
That's
and
the best way I could like a explain
muscle,
it.
There's like a muscle probably here. I'm pinching my side above my rib cage. He's probably got a muscle there. He would have 8 sacks if he airdropped into this game.
Assuming, 8?
Yeah, he would just go out there in passing situations and just wreck everyone.
I think you're probably right. Now I'm looking at pictures of Aaron Donald, and apparently he has been... a spokesperson for pure Epsom salt for a number of years. What does that do for
you? Soak your feet, I think, in that stuff. I think it's supposed to have healing properties, or I don't know.
Do you think for my foot that was like asleep for an hour and a half today that would help? Epsom salts?
That's a good question. Like when I've had like an ingrown toenail or something, I've always been told you're supposed to like soak it in Epsom salt.
So Aaron Donald must be fanatical about
electrolyte abnormalities, constipation, and eclampsia.
Those things have nothing to do with anything that you just mentioned 2 minutes before reading that out loud.
Added to baths or used as a cosmetic. Your body cannot actually absorb any of the minerals involved here.
I mean, Aaron Donald's one of the greatest football players of all time. Can he get a sponsorship deal with something better than salt that helps you go to the bathroom?
Like Nike or somebody like just steps in.
I mean, Travis Kelce's on every commercial right now. Travis Kelce, and this was happening even before he was in with Taylor Swift. He was getting commercials.
He's got that New Heights podcast.
He's not even close to the football player.
Jason Kelce now is getting ads with his wife. Kylie, who met him on a blind date. He was blacked out drunk, and now they're a nice couple.
I heard about that.
Yeah, she's doing part of the reads in the commercial. It's for like YouTube TV.
Is that right? Sorry, I got distracted there for a second. YouTube TV. Do you have YouTube TV? I heard about that.
Yeah,
never mind.
Some generous friend of mine added me to
it. Oh, so now you have Sunday ticket for the whole year.
Correct.
And how much are you paying for it? Well, isn't the person allowed to share it with friends?
They are allowed. Yeah, the whole point is so I'm paying $0. They're allowed to share it. They got it as part of like a promotional thing from a telecom.
You're not breaking any laws.
Oh, no.
Why
I'm
are you
just,
being so tight-lipped
no,
about
I have,
it?
I have a generous friend who said, hey, do you want YouTube TV and especially Sunday ticket? Just give me an email. Address.
Congratulations on all your success.
I'll tell you what, that quad box, though, on that for Sunday ticket, man, where you can just literally flip around to put the sound on. Oh, is that nice.
All right. We come back. We'll do a hodgepodge. We do have Ray Fittipaldo's take on the offensive line to react to and more about Dan Moore and a bunch before we get to Donnie. 6 o'clock, if you are in the North Hills, he is at Minio's Pizza House in Allison Park, which is not that far away from where Colony lives.
No, it's not. Yeah, go see him. He's there with the two. Chipper.
With a Landon Robert, Mr. Tooth Chipper. Fan are brought to you by Sun Chevy, low of 60 degrees. 50-minute mark on the fan is brought to you by South Hills, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Peters Township. Celebrate 50 years in the South Hills. 6 o'clock, it's the debut of the Landon Robert Show with Donnie Football from Minio's Pizza House in Allison Park. Before that, though, it's time for the hodgepodge. Hit it.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
All right, Paul Skeens visiting Steelers practice on his day off today. Met several Steelers, including Mike Tomlin. Patrick Queen, who also won a national championship at LSU, and he took a photo op with T.J. Watt where they signed their jerseys and then swapped. So now Paul Skeens is a T.J. Watt.
Who's better at their job, Paul Skeens or Watt?
That is what I tweeted a poll question out on. And I also included Sidney Crosby in that. And my answer is one that disagrees with the masses. The masses say T.J. Watt. I think they're a prisoner of the moment because they just watched Watt wreak havoc against Atlanta.
Is Watt the best player in football?
No, Patrick Mahomes is.
Is Watt the second best player in football? No, he's not.
Yes.
Yes?
Who is better? I would say Watt.
I guess I would have said something like Tyreek Hill, maybe. Like
close.
Elite wide receiver. Justin Jefferson.
Close. But I think Skeens is the best pitcher. But so my answer is Skeens.
So wait a minute.
He's the second best behind Ohtani.
So then you should vote for both. Crosby, I think, is the one where, unfortunately, you have to say he is clearly third here.
Yeah, he had a great run.
He's like top seven, probably top five at times, but he ain't top one or two.
But that 200-foot game, then he's still regarded by his peers as the best all-around player in the NHL.
That's kind of a shot by them at McDavid.
Yeah, I agree. McDavid is the speed guy.
Speed merchant.
And the man that is setting all kinds of scoring records.
Does anyone call people like a power merchant? There's only speed merchants.
Mm-hmm.
That word only gets tied to speedy players. Bartolo Colon, not a speed merchant.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
Malzahn?
Steve tweets in, I just saw this just happen. I was listening today at work as usual. At a stoplight, this good-looking girl had her volume up pretty loud. I turned you guys down, and she was listening to you. I've never been in love more in my life, woman of my dreams.
What if we found out it was like your wife?
That would be something. She's at work right now. She's not supposed to be driving around.
What if we found out it was Sarah? What if it was Donnie's girlfriend?
Could be, right?
She was texting me earlier about crypto. By the way, they got back to me about that text.
How'd that go?
So Sarah texted me and said, hey, let's see here. Hold on here, these jerks.
Speaking of which, just not jerks, but the caller when we were talking, if Penn State was playing North Korea, they would be wearing North Korea's colors.
Yes.
Now we've got people sending me GIFs of North Korean newsreaders with a flag flying in the background.
So Sarah from Stand With Crypto texted me and said and asked if I was...
Would you stand with crypto with your vote,
yes,
basically?
And she said there's an important election in November. I was wondering if you were planning to vote. And I told this crypto lover, hi, Sarah. I think fracking is way more important than crypto. How do you like them apples? And her response was, I can see we're not seeing eye to eye, but thank you for your time and feedback. Have a great day. She remained polite.
How do you like them apples?
Throughout the whole exchange.
Apparently fracking, not spelled with a K.
Oh.
That if you are talking to people in the actual fracking
industry.
You told
me to spell it with a K.
I know, I thought that, but apparently this is like a weird thing in the fracking industry. They spell it F-R-A-C-I-N-G, and I would just want to say fracing. That doesn't sit well with my eye.
Yeah, it doesn't. I wouldn't think it was spelled that way either. Next.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
I want to know Nelly's biggest confidence pick on... Wait, did we do this on... Oh, no, he said it already.
Yeah, we were... Nelly has a special Thursday night football parlay for us.
Yeah, that's right. We needed your same gamer.
Do you have your Thursday night football parlay now?
I do have that.
Oh, perfect. Now, what
is it?
So, four legs, and when I got it, it was plus 414. James Cook for Buffalo to score a touchdown. Oh, Tyreek Hill of Miami, 50 receiving yards. Jalen Waddle of Miami, 40 receiving yards. And Khalil Shakir of Buffalo, 25 receiving yards.
I like that. 4-1.
I might have to jump on that one. I had one go horribly awry in week one with Isaiah Likely's big fat toe.
Nally's bona fides are this. He'd rather bet on two snails going from one end of the road to the other than watch The Godfather 2 or a movie or any kind of entertainment program that is not... If you can't bet on it, he doesn't want to watch it.
Correct.
Bottom line.
Do you know one of Ken Carmen's followers up in Cleveland? This guy's... He's got, like, more followers than Ken. He's just one of those people who I think follows 500,000 people and is followed by.
Okay.
He puts out on yellow legal pad, he takes pictures, puts out detailed lines with over-under totals for every high school football game in greater Cleveland.
Love it.
I kid you not. Like, he's got St. Edwards against some team from Cincinnati, 21.5-point favorite, 60.5 total. Can you imagine being a person who's like,
I think John Phillips could
say
do that.
To the your old, bookie, taking, hey, will you take action on this?
The old 93.7 The Fan anchor. I feel like he'd do a great job with
that. I like to recap this for people who haven't ever heard the story. John had bet before you could do so, like, legally through an app. So John had bookies, or multiple probably. And he would very much tailor his old sports updates that used to be like 90 seconds long to games he had bet on. So you would occasionally get a put up your Dukes for like Duquesne football when they were winning. And then you'd sometimes get a disgusted sounding score of like the Sooner Binghamton game. He had bet on Binghamton in hoops. And
he would work in the most obscure scores into his update because he had money on them.
Surprisingly, the Rochester Institute of Technology laying the wood to SUNY Binghamton.
Next.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
Nellie, I know you need a second to get this, but can you give me Arthur Smith happy with the play of the line? This is Arthur Smith from today. He was, even though they only averaged 3.3 yards per carry, Zach Frazier's debut, Dan Moore at left tackle, the game in Atlanta, his first time talking about it. His take on what he saw from the Steelers' O-line.
For those guys, really, 2.5 rookies, however you want to categorize Broderick, young lineman, especially the new center on a road against a veteran defense, we wanted to control the line of scrimmage. It was a little blunt force trauma, made it ugly. It was pretty at times, depending on your perspective. And I thought as the game wore on, we were able to possess the ball, I think, 36 minutes, believe 11 in the fourth quarter. You know, the one thing that I wish we had handled that long drive we had, we really could have gone for the kill shot there, and credit to them. You know, they out-executed us on 3rd-and-2 and 4th-and-1, but that took a lot of clock, and we were rolling them off the ball. You know, as a coach, maybe I'm sick in the head, but that was beautiful to me.
So, giving the offensive line high praise, and yet it sounds like, according to Fittipaldo, Fautanu's going to play right tackle, Dan Moore at left tackle, and Broderick Jones to the bench.
The characterization of Jones as however you want to characterize him, half of a rookie. If that's how they're looking at him then, because he played half of last year, then they must think he's a total rookie when it comes to playing left tackle.
If Ray's take is right, that they need to see Dan Moore play a bad game before he comes out of the lineup,
I don't know when we'll see Jones. Because they've had lower standards for Moore all along.
But my thing is, I'm just perplexed as to why it wouldn't be Jones at right tackle and just make the rookie wait like they made the rookie wait last year.
Because they think the rookie is much more advanced because he's older and played more.
They drafted Jones higher in last year's draft than they did Fautanu in this one, and they traded up for him.
But that's partly a function, too, of what the tackle surplus was this year. There were a lot of offensive linemen that went this year compared to Jones's year. Even I know Jones had a bunch of guys go ahead of him that played line, played tackle, but there were a ton in this year's draft.
Give me this one more here, and then we got to get to a Landon Roberts. Give me the clip from Smith today. It's labeled, interesting take on George Pickens. I want you guys to hear this.
George is a young player. There's certainly things. You got details. Sometimes when the ball doesn't go to you as a wide out, the effect you have on that play. You know, it's about details and routes. This isn't a blame game. It's just kind of just general philosophy. Even on the two sacks, it wasn't like we got beat early and inside. But we got to be cleaner with the detail. Because sometimes maybe the coverage gets you off the first read, or sometimes your detail gets you off the first read and you're holding the football, which is what the defense wants in obvious pass situations. We've got to take another step. We got to be more detailed and more disciplined. We'll constantly work on that.
So that's coach saying that Pickens obviously has immense potential and talent and showed a lot of it against Atlanta, but there's got to be stuff on the tape where he runs the wrong route, or he doesn't. He said the details on the route create sacks.
So he doesn't run the route crisply enough. If it's run 10 and hit your
Fields
out,
has got to go away from that because he's like, all right,
he's not
Pickens
done,
was supposed to be there,
but he's not yet.
Interesting.
I think the blocking thing probably still is a major part of that. I know he didn't say it, but
Roethlisberger gave Pickens a little bit of crap for that on his podcast, the Football and Podcast, which is back for year 2, and they added a third host.
A big upset here is that you have not pulled anything from that podcast.
Now that they added the third host, it's
watered down.
It's a different sounding show.
Who's the third host?
It's another guy from like the Spence troupe.
The Spence Orbit.
Yeah.
Is Spence still doing the Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I haven't listened to a full episode the whole way through.
So really, you were loyal to Roethlisberger and Spence.
I was. All right. Thanks, everybody, here at Studio B. We don't want to be late for the debut of Landon Roberts. He's excellent, great talker, the tooth chipper with Johnny Football at Minio's in Allison Park. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2. Get you ready for Steelers and Broncos in the Backyard Brawl. PM Team signing off.